Lord, we just thank you tonight that your presence is our greatest desire, Lord. That we don't want anything else in this world, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for every heart that is filled up with your presence tonight, Lord. Thank you for every one of us that is here drinking deeply of your presence, God. We thank you, Lord, for strategy for our lives, for wisdom, Lord, for direction, God. Thank you that we don't have to be like a double-minded man tossed to and fro, Lord. But tonight we have direction in our lives. We have the Savior speaking to us, the healer, the deliverer, the mighty one. Thank you that you say to some of us this evening, this is the way, walk in it. And that you guide us with your eyes, your word says, Lord. Maybe there's someone here with a boldness just to testify. If you feel like you want to testify of what God has done in your life in the last while, then feel free to come and share. Maybe you said something profound that you'd like to share, then you're welcome to share it. Don't we serve an amazing God who is blessed by the Lord's presence here tonight in the worship and who received something from the Lord and just feels encouraged tonight? Turn to someone next to you and say, God is in this place. And he's in your heart. Tell someone next to you, God lives right there in your heart. Can I see who's visiting us for the first time? There's our friends from Chile there. It's wonderful to have you guys here. Is there anyone else visiting for the first time here tonight? Let's give them... Hey, there's another one. Let's make them feel welcome. Let's give them... It's so wonderful to have our family expanding. So we're excited for what God is doing in our midst. Who's excited for the season that we're in? Who's excited for your relationship with the Lord? And as a church, woohoo! Someone is. So we've been talking tonight, for those who are new or visiting us for the first time, or you haven't been here for the last while, we're talking about kingdom fitness, okay? We're not talking about physical fitness, we're talking about kingdom fitness. Who wants to be fit for the kingdom? Anyone here want to be fit for the kingdom? So we're talking about some challenging stuff the last while. We've been talking about if you want to get the recordings, speak to Richard and David in the office. They'll show you the website where we've recorded the sermons. But a couple of weeks ago, we talked about money and worry, the whole thing of how money can destroy our lives or the love of money. And then last week, who enjoyed last week? We talked about sexual purity and holiness. Okay, it was challenging for many of us, for all of us. And so tonight I'm going to talk about the third one of the three killers. Okay, John 1:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." There's three killers, the unholy trinity in the Bible. Okay, you get the holy trinity and then you get the unholy trinity. The unholy trinity are the lust of the eyes, which is material lust, lust after the things of the world. The lust of the flesh, that's the lust after sexual stuff. We talked about that last week. The lust of the eyes, material lust, lust after the things of the world, which we also talked about. And tonight we're going to talk about the third one, and that is called the pride of life. Now, pride is a big one, okay? What's exciting about tonight's sermon is that not one of you can go to sleep here, okay, and say it's not applicable to me. Okay, anyone got no pride in your life? Dare to put up your hand. Okay. That's great. We're all here, hopefully, because we want to be humble and we want to be like Christ. And so pride is a big thing that is found in most of our lives, okay? Not one person can say they have sorted this pride thing. And that's what's great about tonight's message. Is I trust that you will remember this, because it's not applicable just for a season in your life. It's applicable all the time. And you'll see why tonight. In fact, this message is more applicable to you when life is going well than it is when life is going tough, isn't it so? Think about the times in your life when things went tough. You know what you do? You're on your knees, isn't that so? You're desperate for God. You cry out to God. You're praying. You're reaching out to friends. Hopefully, maybe if you don't have any, then it'll be quite tough. But you're reaching out to God. You're reaching out to the church many times when you're in a tough time in your life. But it's in the good times in our lives when life is happening, we're all successful, the money's in the bank, we're successful, we're achieving what we've set out to achieve, we're successful, people are coming to the Lord through us, we're testifying, we're witnessing. That's the time when you got to watch out for this thing called pride the most in your life, isn't that so? You see, there's a certain fine line between pride and humility, even though they're on opposite spectrums of the scale. Pride could be on that side and humility on that side. It's like the opposite walls of this hall. But yet at the same time, they are so close and there's such a fine line between pride and humility. It's just weird when you think about it. I mean, just take, for example, the songs that we sing in worship. And that's why you'll see many times we try to take the I and the me and myself out of the songs. We try to make it plural for the sake of it's all about us and about God primarily. It's not about I, me and myself. It's first of all about God and then it's about us and then it's about the individual. But so many times the songs are more about the I, me and myself than they are about God. For example, this week I listened to this or I worshipped to this song by Michael W. Smith. Anyone know the song Above All by Michael W. Smith? So we were at a meeting and they put the worship on the PowerPoint and on the, they didn't have a band there. I was at a church leaders meeting. And I listened to it and it's a great song and I love the music by Michael W. Smith. I've got no problem with it. But I was listening to the song and it said, you know, it goes like this, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. And for the first time in preparing for this message, maybe the Holy Spirit just alerted me to this, but for the first time I started to think, but sure, often the me is exalted in that story, in that line, isn't it so? You thought of me above everything else. And I know it's about God, and I know it's all about, you know, what Jesus did, but often it becomes about me above all, isn't that so? It's a very fine line. I'm just trying to get you thinking tonight. So don't kill me for this. I'm just trying to get us to think. And so many of the worship songs, the I and the me is more than what God is. And God is there and Jesus is there and He saved us. But the me is often very prevalent in the songs we sing. Isn't that so? Hello? Or think about a testimony. Think about when you share a testimony. Think about your own testimony. Many times you talk more about yourself than about Jesus in your testimony. And it's not right or wrong. It's just I'm saying there's a fine line between where's the I, me, and the myself in it and where's God and Jesus in it. There's a fine line between pride and humility. And therefore, we can never rest on our laurels. We can never say, you know what, we've got this sorted out. We've got this waxed. Because then that's at that time when you realize, whoa, maybe it's more about me now. Because I've got this sorted. I've done good. I've done well. John R. Stott said the following. He said, pride is your greatest enemy and humility is your greatest friend. And so I believe God wants us to be friends with humility, to really embrace humility and to say, you know what, pride, it's knocking at my door, but it's my enemy. The pride of life. And what does God say about pride? In the Bible, in Proverbs, there's a lot of scriptures, but I'll just put two up here. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech, says the Lord. I hate pride. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. And you can go through Proverbs, you can go through the Old Testament, you can go through the New Testament. Twice, Peter and James write that God resists the proud, isn't it so? You know what that resists means? It means that He goes to war against those who are proud. But yet He gives grace to the humble. And so there's good news tonight. Tell someone next to you there's good news. God loves humility. And He gives grace to the humble. And why do you guys think God hates pride? Why does God hate pride? Think about that. It's not like he just hates pride because he hates pride. There's a reason why he hates pride. It's because we're taking the glory of God for ourselves. Pride is when we give ourselves credit for something that God has accomplished. And many times we forget to give God the glory. See, it's easy to give God the glory when we're focused on God, but when we're focused on ourselves, it's easy to give ourselves the glory and the credit. Isn't it so? Pride is taking the glory that belongs to God and keeping it for ourselves. It is essentially self-worship. That is what pride is. And that's why God hates pride. And pride came in from right at the beginning, because who is the author of pride? It's the devil himself who fell. And he tempted Eve to, you know what? You can do this yourself. Just eat of this fruit and you can see and you can be like God. And unfortunately, like all of us would have been in that situation, we would have had the choice. We wouldn't have automatically just followed God. We would have had to choose. Are we going to follow God or follow the pride that the devil held before us? See, anything we accomplish in this world would not have been possible were it not for God enabling us and blessing us and sustaining us. And I want you tonight to think about all your talents and all your gifts and everything that, think of your greatest success at the moment. Think of it. What is the greatest success in your life? And analyze that success, whether it's an aggregate form a trick, whether you've got colors for sport, or think of at school. All of us, you guys were at school recently in the last few years ago. I was at school quite a long time ago, okay? But think of your achievements at school, because school is often all about achievements. But think of your achievements. It's good to achieve, because you're glorifying God when you achieve, if you're glorifying God. But then you need to give him glory for it and not to just say, you know what, I'm so good at this, you know. And how often do we do it? How easy isn't it to just say, you know, I'm so good at this. I've got this incredible talent. Because God gives us talents. He gives us gifts. He gives us incredible abilities. But are we glorifying him? In his essay on undetected pride, Jonathan Edwards points out 7 symptoms of the infection of pride. 7 subtle symptoms, and I've put them up here that you can look at and ask yourself in your life, is this not maybe a possibility where this thing could make me realize I've got a little bit of pride in my life? First of all, it's all about fault finding. We magnify the faults of other people. We don't always see it in ourselves. You know, when you come to a sermon, sometimes you come to listen to a sermon. Maybe tonight you're thinking about that person that really needs to hear this, you know. Oh, that person is so proud that they should really be here tonight. Instead of saying, and it's not wrong to do that, but you've got to first of all say, you know what, I need to hear this sermon. Isn't it so? But so many times we see the faults in others, and you know, often it's just because it's actually so prevalent in our own lives that we see it in others. We magnify it in others' lives because it's actually in our own life. Isn't it so? I mean, I'm often irritated by stuff in people's lives, and I have to think, you know what, this is in my own life. So the second one is a harsh spirit. We start to judge others. We're irritated with the sins of others, and we judge them harshly instead of realizing that, you know what, we also need forgiveness. We also have problems. But we so easily point it towards others and we harshly judge people. It's sometimes important stuff that we have to be honest about. But then we have to look at like, oh God, I've also got stuff. It might not be the same, but there's stuff in my life that I need to realize. And then thirdly, we have the superficiality about us. We make sure that we look good on the outside. You know, everything is looking good and we look like the super Christian, but on the inside, in the secret place where no one sees what is really going on in your life. Hectic. What is going on in the dark places where no one is seeing, but yes, in front of people, we're putting on this face. It's all fine. It's all good. And we're excellent at acting, isn't it so? We're brilliant at masking. You know, Facebook, you just portray all the stuff on Facebook and it looks all good, you know, and we testify and we put Christian verse of scripture up there and we, in the public eye, we're looking awesome. But yet, in the secret place, what is happening? So we're very superficial. And then number four, we're very defensive. We always try to defend or prove ourselves when we are challenged or rebuked or, you know, disagreed with. We like to, whoa, no, we got to prove ourselves here. Instead of just realizing, you know what, I could be wrong. Let me listen to what people are saying. And then number five is a killer. The presumption that we have before God. And this is a terrible one because we think we're hearing the voice of God, but we're not really. And so either we go into this place of where we're just so bold before God. We need to be bold before God. We need to enter in God's presence with boldness and with an expectation He'll speak to us. But sometimes we enter in so boldly thinking that we're God and God must start to serve us now. That's on the one side. On the other side, we so feel like worms. We feel like nothing and useless, and God's anyway not going to speak to us. So we approach God, but we haven't got that boldness. So we need what's called humble assurance. We need both. We need to have humility, but we need to have also assurance. So we can't go to the one side or the other. We need humble assurance. So one cannot be missing. If the humility is not there and the assurance is not there, then that's not who we are in Christ. So then we presume, we walk in presumption, and we think we're hearing God's voice. Number six is we're desperate for attention. We're seeking attention and approval from people instead of from God. You know that thing of, yes, I'm always so needed. It's amazing to be here for people. I'm so needed. And you say no to, or you say yes to everything. There's no boundaries. You're desperate for approval. You're always running to the next best thing. Because you're desperate to be needed and to feel like you need attention all the time. It's a subtle symptom of pride. And lastly, we favor certain people above other people. So we neglect other people. We favor certain people. Why? Because they can do something for us. They're influential. They're famous and rich and all the stuff. But we neglect other people that maybe can mean nothing for us. And so we're very focused on ourselves. Because it's all about what God and other people can do for us, and we neglect reaching out many times. It's all about selfishness, this whole thing of pride. And so I want to look at a story tonight on a tragic story, a bad story in the Old Testament, because it started so well, but it didn't end very well. It's found here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, the story of King Uzziah. Say Uzziah. He was a great king. He was an amazing king. He did awesome stuff. In fact, that he was 16 years old when he became king. Imagine you became king when you were 16 years old of a nation, a leader of a nation. Hectic. But he started off well. And obviously, you know, some people are very young in the ministry or in leadership positions, and they start off well because they realize they're dependent upon God. They need God. And he did. It said he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. His father also started off well, but didn't end well. And that's why he had to become king when he was 16 years old, because his father messed up and was killed. And so Uzziah was put in the place of his father. And it said he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Say, he sought God. It's good to seek God. Amen. It's good to always be seeking God. If you want to be at a good place with God, seek God. Amen. I want to say that tonight to someone. Seek God. Don't wait for God to seek you. You know, God is seeking all of us. Okay, that's good news tonight. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He's seeking us all the time. Turn to someone next to you and say, it's so amazing that God is seeking me. But you know what I want to say tonight? Don't leave it at God seeking you. You need to do what Uzziah did, especially if you're in a position of influence. Amen. Who wants to be an influencer here in your life? Who wants to influence other people? Okay, put up your hand. If you want to influence other people, if you want to be an influencer, okay? Some people, like, you're not sure, okay? We'll pray for you, okay? Jesus wants you to influence people. I mean, you're a witness if you're a believer here tonight, right? Yaku, you want to influence people? Yes. Baholo, you want to influence people? Ezra? Then it's important to seek God. And it said that Uzziah sought God in the days of Zechariah. And guess what he also did? He surrounded himself with a prophet. Okay? Any prophets here? Okay, don't put up your hand because I don't want to have you self-appoint yourself. But you know, when a prophet is in your life, it's uncomfortable, right? I've had a couple of prophets in my life since when I started in Shofar, when I was spirit-filled, as I shared earlier, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, God made sure that and when I committed to be part of this church, He put up people in my life, and some of them were in the office of a prophet, some of them were just these black and white people that see your mistakes and they say, sort it out, you know, and it's irritating. It's not nice. Because they challenge you, and it's not them, it's God. It's God speaking into your life. And so Uzziah was at a good place. He had the prophet Zechariah around him, who had understandings in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Say, God made him prosper. All of us want to prosper, isn't that so? All of us want to be successful in this Christian walk. All of us want to be more like Christ. Because that's what prosperity is when we become more like Christ. Because when we become like Christ, we're going to be very successful Christians, good Christians. And God wants us to succeed, amen? So God made him prosper. And then you can read the rest of the story. He had incredible might. He had military might. He put walls around Jerusalem with these massive cannons that would make sure if there's any enemy come in, he would blow them apart. And so Judah became very strong under Uzziah's reign. He was incredibly successful. In fact, it says here in verse 15, his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped. I love what this translation says. Marvelously helped. Can only be helped from above. And he put people in place. He had an army that was massively strong. And he became marvelously helped till he became strong. This guy was strong. But not only was he strong, the nation was at a good place. But isn't it so that between verse 15 and the next verse, there's like this fine line between humility and between pride, between seeking God and seeking your own ways. Because listen to what happened. What's verse 16 say? The big but that comes in. That but that sometimes gets in the way. But when he was strong, not when he was weak, not when he was struggling, not when things were going badly for him, when he was strong. In other words, he was successful. He had the best army. Judah was at a good place. Jerusalem was protected. When he was strong, what did it say? His heart was lifted up. And to his destruction, things happened. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. What happened to Uzziah? Uzziah walked in presumption. Why? Because of pride. Pride always leads us to presume that we can do whatever we want to do. Because suddenly we're the anointed of God. Well, not suddenly. We are the anointed of God and we've been faithful and we've walked a long time. And so we start to presume certain things. You see, it happens to the best of us. It happens to the successful people. He was not supposed to do what the priests did. He was not supposed to enter into the temple of God. Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah, and they said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord your God." And he walked in presumption, thought that because he was king, he could do anything, and it was only reserved for the priests. And the Lord struck him. It said Uzziah became furious. And yeah, he starts to resist. You know, when you start to resist God's ways and God's authority, he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was still angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him. And there on his forehead, he was leprous. And so they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. Lord does not like proud people. And the sad ending was that he was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And then his son was king over the Lord's house, judging the people. Isn't that's not a nice story. But isn't it amazing that from this story we can learn certain things? More specifically, we can learn that pride is not a good thing. Amen. And presumption is not a good thing to walk in. See, the sin of pride manifests itself in, first of all, selfish motives. So it starts being more about us. And he started off all about God. He surrounded himself with prophets and people to speak into his life. And then it became all about him. Selfish motives, an exaggerated ego, a low opinion of others, and ultimately a disrespect for God. And what happens? It leads us to sin against God. And we rob God of the glory that He is due. And you know what the worst of all is? It distorts our perception of reality. When pride comes in, we lose track of what's real out there and what's really important out there and becomes so much about us. And you know what? That's exactly what happened to the devil. The father of lies, the one who's full of pride, fell from a great place in heaven. He had an awesome place in heaven. But I want to say this evening, it's not only about successful people. Pride can manifest in low and unsuccessful and outcast people as well. Because why? It's all about them. It's all about selfishness. It's all about me. You must serve me. You must do stuff for me. So I put down here four areas of pride which I want you to look at. Just turn to someone next to you and say, it's going to be okay. I know this is tough. Okay, I know we're preaching some challenging stuff here, but you know what? It's encouraging. Okay, tonight is supposed to be encouraging that you can realize God is grace, has grace upon us. Isn't that so? God loves us so much. He wants us to realize there's stuff in our hearts that He wants to sort out. That's why He loves us. So that He can start to speak into our lives. And if we're open to Him, we can be free. I mean, isn't it amazing to walk in the freedom of Christ? So tonight, there's going to be freedom in Christ. Amen. First of all, four areas of pride that can manifest possibly in our lives. And the first one I put on here was spiritual pride. Okay, that's what many of us as leaders, and it's not only church leaders, business people, anointed people of God. Whether you're anointed as a king or as a priest or as a prophet or whoever, a ruler, you can have spiritual pride. Why? Because you think you're worth more to God than other people. It's so easy for us to think that we're worth more. In fact, I want to say tonight that it's so easy, even as a believer, to think that we're worth more to God than other people. Amen. Let's be honest, guys. We think that we're better than the unbelievers. Let's really be honest tonight. Okay? Don't we sometimes think that we're better than those who don't know Jesus? Hello, am I the only one? We think we've arrived when Christ saved us and He's given us a radical testimony and we were in darkness and now we're in light. Then we start to think, you know what? Yes, I'm quite special. The other night, my son, he prayed. And it's great because he knows God loves him. So he prays and he says, thank you, Lord, that you love me more. He said something, I don't know exactly what he said, but something like, you love me more than other people or than, you know. And I was like, okay, I've got to teach him here. You know, the sin of the human race, it is 6 years old and, you know, just having that sinful nature that, you know, it's all about me. And kids, it's all about them, you know. We have to teach our kids that it's not all about you. And it's difficult because especially parents, you really love your kid and you want to give your kid everything. But sometimes you've got to give your kid a few hidings and a few discipline, you know, steps of discipline in love. Because you realize, you know where this is leading them to? To become all narcissistic and all the looking in the face and say, look at this amazing person. It's all about you. You know, life revolves around you. And so I had to tell him, look, God loves you, and it's amazing that you think God loves you more than other people. It's amazing that you think that you know, it's awesome to receive that love of God, but you know what? It's wrong. God does not love you more than anyone else. He says He died for the world. So I told him, John 3:16 says, God loves the whole world, and it's equal. So He loves you, but you're not that special. You're special, but you're not that special. You're special to me, and you're my son, and I'll do everything to defend you, but you know, you... And it's challenging. It's really challenging. And God wants to say that to us tonight. He wants to say tonight that you are not more special than that person who hasn't been saved yet. And so spiritual pride comes in many times as believers, especially the longer we walk with God, the more difficult it is to identify with people out there. Angus Buchan says it, he says, like, evangelism is simply one hungry beggar telling another hungry beggar where to get food. So we're all hungry beggars. We just happen to know the source, and we've experienced it tonight. We experience it every time we come together, every time you go into a quiet place, every time you look at the amazing sunrise and the sunset, you say, God, you're awesome. And you realize the presence of God is amazing. But you're still a hungry beggar. You need to get to God. And so we can reach out to others and say, you know what? We know where the source is. We're not better than you. We're not super people. We just have the grace of God start to operate in our lives. So that's the first thing. And we exalt our gifts and our calling and the authority God gives us, because God gives us authority. He said, I've given you all authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. He gave us amazing authority. He gave us gifts. In fact, he says the gifts and the calling are irrevocable. I'm not going to take my gifts back. You know how scary that is for God? God gives people gifts and he's like, I'm not going to take it back. It can be abused, and we see it in the church. We see gifts of God being abused. Authority of God being abused. Why? Because of pride. Spiritual pride is the number one. So what is there in your life that you need to watch out for? Spiritual pride. Secondly, and this is a big one, cultural pride. You know, where our language becomes like, you know, Maital, huh? The British settlers, eh? I'm part of the British, you know, I'm a Kingwall, okay? Kingwalls came from Britain, okay? We came and we took over this country, okay? Or part of this country. And I'm a Kingwall. My surname is so significant. I'm doing the will of the king, you know? It's amazing. But I can be so proud of my surname. I can be so proud of the family I came from. I can be so proud of the school that I was in. Hello? Anyone here from Bloemfontein? Anyone here from a boys' school? Okay, I'm not going to mention any names because I also come from a certain school, and there's a lot of schools in this town. There's a lot of schools in this nation that are so proud of themselves, you know, that badge. Like, luckily, the Springbok badge has been a bit humbled at the moment, you know. So people aren't watching the green and gold after yesterday. You know, it's like, I don't know if God is saying something or what, but anyway. Pray for those guys, seriously. Lots of them really love the Lord. It's sad to lose 57-0, whether you're in the E team or the A team. It's hectic. But you see, our pride, our cultural pride, and we're proud of the culture, the heritage that we come from, and we're not willing to let it go. We'll serve God as long as our culture is part of this. And we hold on to the stuff. Why? It's all about a reputation that you're trying to uphold. And you know what you do? You protect your reputation so that people can give you the naughty badge instead of what God says about you. And it's all about your reputation, and you focus on that, the cultural pride. Then the third one is, we talked about a while ago, it's all about the riches, the possessions, the material pride in our lives. It's all about the house that we live in, the suburb that we live in, or the car that we drive, or the five cars that we own, you know. And they're all like over 100,000 rand. Like, in fact, some of them are close to 1 million. Or even over. As long as we own this big car. And this big house. And all the possessions that we have. And the expensive jewelry that we wear, you know. And I'm not saying we must now look all scruffy and like not look after ourselves. You know, you need to spend a bit of money to look presentable. But you don't need to be proud of the stuff that you wear. The brand names of clothing, you know, all that stuff. Why? It's all about one thing. It's all about appearance. Material pride is all about appearance. How you look. How you come across to other people. And then the last one is the pride of success. Our qualifications. We focused on achieving stuff, on attaining a certain degree, a certain title. You know, in the ministry these days, people are apostles and bishops and apostle bishop and doctor and got like three titles in front of their names. The university, you know, it's all about titles and the prof and the doctor and the doctor doctor and the prof doctor and the... It gets crazy. And I don't mind being called pastor, and I really appreciate the respect of being called pastor. And I think in the black churches, they get the honor thing right. In our Western world, sometimes we you know, we drop the titles because sometimes the titles do, you know, bring a bit of pride in. And but I don't want to be called, like, being seen as this title of pastor. And I mean, I can call me that if you want to. But I think if we start focusing on titles and putting titles to our names, then there's a possibility of pride. And we do many things to feel a sense of fulfillment. Many times it's all about competition. It's all about being better than someone else. Isn't that so? Let's be really honest. You make sure that you're higher up or better off than someone else. That the pride of success. And success is good. God wants us to be successful. The Bible says He delights in the prosperity of His people. But is the success, is the motive behind the success for God, or is it for you? And that's what all of these things are about. Is the motive of spiritual pride, is it, or the motive of having a gift and a calling, is the motive there for God's glory, or is it for your glory? The cultural place you come from, is it for the glory of God? Because God wants to redeem culture. There's everything good, lots of good things in every culture. But is it about God's glory or about the culture? Material stuff, is riches and possessions and looking good, is it about God or is it about you? And that's the question. It's not about all these things. We can't say, no, but we're going to just look bad and we're not going to have any money and we're going to have like nothing because we're worried about pride. It's not about that. It's all about the motive of your heart. So I want to end off with the scripture tonight because I know this is challenging. I know we're all challenged by this and we all have some kind of pride in our lives. Whether it's all four of those or three of them or just one of them, God doesn't look at the mount. He just looks at, if there's a bit of pride, He says, I want to sort it out. I don't hate you. I love you. And I want to separate the pride from you because I know it's going to destroy you like it did the king and the many other people in the Old Testament that started off well but didn't end well. So there's this great scripture that always encourages me. Philippians 2, I want to end off with this. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Isn't that what we're talking about this whole year? Being one, the love, the Christ-likeness amongst each other. That's what Paul's writing to these people in Philippi. And he's doing it to a church that's successful, a church that's blessed. They've been giving him stuff. They experience joy. It's a whole book of joy. The whole book of Philippians is about joy. But he says, if you really want to be joyful, if you really want to fulfill my joy and be full of joy, you know what? You need to be of one mind and of one heart. And you need to be like this. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Say selfish ambition. See, there's the motive again. What is the motive? Is the motive for you or in competition or conceit? Were you looking down on other people? Is it all about you or is it about being lowly of mind, esteeming others better than yourself? Isn't that amazing? And isn't that so difficult? To esteem others better than you? It's impossible, guys. It's impossible in our own strength because we are exalted. We exalt ourselves. We think we're okay. We think we're great. But he says you've got to have a change of heart. You've got to have a mind like Christ. He says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And I want to say that we as a church, guys, we've been called to serve the city of Bloemfontein. Amen. You know, if God wants to, and I believe God wants to make us a pillar of light, a beacon of light for the city. Okay? I really believe He has. There's been a lot of words about it, prayers, people who are praying, believe God wants to make us a beacon of light. But you know what? If we're not going to serve the city, if we're not going to love the city, if we're not going to look out for other people's interests above our own, then you know what? God will remove our lampstand and He'd rather use someone else. Because God wants servants. Amen. God wants us to serve the city. And I know there's opportunities every day to serve. The other day, just to share a quick testimony. I mean, my wife, I just want to brag about her. I know she's got a lot of faults as well. But the other night, a lady that was in our church, she's kind of been visiting another church because her kids are happier there or whatever. But she's going through a hectic time. So someone from Stellenbosch phones her and says, you know what, just phone Liesl. And we're like, oh, but she's actually in another church. Maybe we should phone that pastor and just ask them to look out for her. And then we thought, no, what, you know, and like my wife just said, you know what, I'm going to make food for this woman. And so she made food for her and she said, come and fetch this food because she had terrible for a while. She's been really sick and gone through a tough time. And so she made food and she came with her kids to our house, fetch the food. And it's like, she was just super, super blessed. And she just couldn't believe it. Like, we're reaching out to her when she's like, you know, not sort of in our church anymore, although she's wanting to come back. I don't know if she's going to come back. But I just realized there, you know what? We can make a decision. Either we're only going to serve the people in our church, or we're going to start to serve people outside. And I tell you, there's needs out there. People are struggling. People are depressed. People are down. Whoever it is. And let's start with serving one another. Okay, I'm not saying don't serve. Serve people in church. But let us get outward focused, guys. Amen. Let us serve the city. Because that's what Paul says. He says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Starting in the church, but let's look outside. Let's look at the needs out there. And so it's a challenge, because this life is a challenge. And he says, there's no ways you're going to do it. You're only going to do it like this. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. We've got to become Christ-like. How was Christ? I'll show you now how Christ counteracted these four areas of pride. First of all, he said, Paul writes, he says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Jesus Christ laid down his glory. He laid down the spiritual pride, if you can put it in that. Well, not that he had any pride, but he laid down his glory and he became one of us. Left heaven, gave up the privileges, was subject to people on this earth. And he had to have temptation, he had to receive temptation, he had to overcome temptation, but he had to do it as a man. He's 100% God, but he's 100% man. He had to give up the glory of being God and become like one of us, even though he was still God. But he says he did not consider it robbery to be, he didn't think, you know what, I'm just going to become like God. And when times are tough, I'm just going to say, yeah, God, call down fire, call down your angels, take me off this cross or deliver me from death. He didn't do that. He gave up his privileges. And we need as believers to also say, you know what, we're not better than other people. Just because we're saved, we haven't now arrived and we're now just going to go to heaven. That's why we're not in heaven yet, guys. Have you ever thought about that? That's why you're not in heaven yet. It's better for us to actually be in heaven now. While we're still on earth, we're still here as servants. And that's the second thing. He made himself of no reputation. Say no reputation. You see, a reputation is something that we have to let go many times. The reputation that people think of us, reputation that we've built up. And I'm not saying you need to like look all scruffy and look like totally different. You are who you are, but there's a reputation that we're trying to uphold in the flesh that we need to say, God, I don't care what people think of me. I'm going to take the form of a bond servant of Christ. And he came as a servant, gave up his cultural privileges, and he was supposed to be this king, you know. Everyone expected him to be the certain king, but he gave up that and he became a bondservant. And guess what? He became in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance, say appearance. There was no glory. There was no bells and whistles, fancy stuff. He rode into Jerusalem before his death on a donkey. No fancy cars, anything like that. Came in the lowliness of a servant to serve people. And you know what the people thought? Who is this crazy guy? He says he's the Son of God and he's like this weird, he's just a normal man. Isaiah says he wasn't even like nice to look at times. Especially when he died on the cross. It wasn't nice to look at. But he came with no reputation. He gave up his glorious appearance and appeared like a man and he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. He gave up any success that he should have had. And you know what? It seemed like his ministry was so unsuccessful, if you think about it. Here he is. He comes for these people. And guess what? The same people he came for kills them. Kills him. How's that? How's that for like weak? And how's that for like failure? You know? That's what it must have looked like. Defeated. It looked like he was really a failure. And yet, the rest of the verse says the following. Therefore, because of all of this, because he gave up his privileges in heaven, because he gave up his glory and came to earth to serve us and to save us, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that amazing? You see, God says in His Word, those who exalt themselves, I will humble. But if you humble yourself, you become like Christ. Give up everything. Give up your life. And say, God, my reputation, my status, everything that I hold on to, the pride in my heart, you know what? I'm going to give it up for the sake of your glory. For the sake of who you are. So how do we let go of pride? We first of all need to humble ourselves before God in prayer. We need to ask Him to reveal the hidden pride in our hearts. So that's a good thing to, place to start. You need to humble yourself and say, you know what? God, I realize that pride is knocking at my door, especially in the time of success, especially when my greatest achievement has just happened, my greatest victory. I must realize, God, I want to be on my knees. I want to still say, God, isn't there pride in my heart? And it's not about being all, you know, all conscious of our sin and all our stuff, because we have freedom in Christ, but it's being attent to the times when the devil comes to knock and say, you know what? Just glorify yourself. Glorify yourself. Look how great you are. Humble ourselves before God in prayer, asking Him to continually reveal. Secondly, we need to acknowledge it and repent of it. But then, you know how hard that is to do, especially when you're full of pride, because are you going to acknowledge it? Probably not. That's the sad thing about pride. Pride blinds us and we don't always acknowledge it. We don't repent of it because we don't see it in ourselves. And that's why the third thing you need to do is to surround yourself with someone who can speak into your life. Amen. And I want to say tonight, if there's anyone here who's isolated, I want to say, don't be isolated any longer. Allow someone to speak into your life. Become part of a small group. Become part of a life group, or just get into a relationship with someone. If you can't come to small group every week, then it's fine. But come to a place of relationship with someone else. Amen. I believe it's your lifeline. For someone here this evening, it's your lifeline. You need to say to someone, you know what? I'm on my own. I'm isolated. I have no one to speak into my life. I need you, friend. Speak into my life. And you know what? I'm going to speak into yours. Let's do this together. It's not about someone having more authority over a person. It's just about saying, you know what? Let's be mutually accountable. Let's ask each other hard questions once a week or at least once a month. How's your pride going? How's your money going? Are you giving? You know, are you and sex? How's the sexual temptations in your life? Are you staying pure? All these things that we've been talking about the last while, guys. If we don't have accountability, we're going to fall in one of these areas. It's a serious stuff, and you know why we're talking about it? Because God is serious about it. So I want the band to come forward this evening. We're gonna just pray for one another here this evening. So I want to say tonight, and I'm promoting accountability. I'm promoting our discipleship culture in our church. Why? Because it's crucial. And you know, in the kingdom of God, it's not about, there's no neutral stuff. Either we're going forward with the Lord or we're going to go backwards. That's scary. Either you're growing in the Lord or you, and if you're not growing, I can tell you the devil is out to get you to backslide, 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 and eventually the hardness of your heart will turn you away from God like Uzziah did. And you'll become so proud and so presumptuous and you'll walk in this place where you think you know God and you think you're walking with God and you're just full of pride, full of presumption. And my heart and my prayer for all of us is that we don't ever become like Uzziah. My heart and my prayer for all of us guys is that it's not about how we start this journey. Amen. It's about how we finish. It's about how we finish the walk of faith. It's a life of humility, a life glorifying God, a life where we say, Christ, you've set the perfect example. You are the leader. Help me to be like you. And He wants to do that tonight for many of us. He wants to come and challenge us to remain at this place of brokenness before Him. Can I ask us all to stand this evening as we just close off the service tonight? If you feel tonight that the Lord has really spoken to you and you've been challenged and you realize, you know what, in some of these areas I'm really challenged. I There's so much I still need to let go of. And I believe all of us have been challenged in some area tonight. But if you want to have Christ really change your life tonight, and you want to make a bold statement to change from a place of being proud or very close to being very proud to a place of humility. And it's not a thing that you're going to do once, it's a thing you need to do all the time. But if you feel the Lord has challenged you in this area of your life, I want you to come to the front, and I just want you to kneel here in the front before the Lord, and just to say as a symbol, as a stepping out, to say, God, I'm finished with the life of pride. I really want to have humility. Help me, Lord. And I'm going to fall a couple of times, not going to get it perfectly right, but I want to choose to step out of pride into humility, to let go of my pride tonight. If the Lord is speaking to you this evening, I would love you to come forward, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to actually pray for each other tonight. But if you really want to make a bold step tonight, and you want to say, God, I recognize you speaking to me, then just come tonight. Come and kneel before the Lord. I know it's going to take a bold step, but you know that's what God wants you to do, to humble yourself, to say, I'm laying down everything for you. So I'm just going to give you an opportunity. Is there anyone that you want to come forward, step out and say, God, I'm kneeling, I'm laying down my pride. Letting go of my pride tonight. I realize that there is pride in my life. And I'm just challenging us to, if we don't recognize it, we're at a dangerous place. But if we do recognize it, respond to the love of God tonight. He's calling you. If the Lord is speaking to you now, just respond. I just want to give an opportunity. Don't look around now. Just respond to what God is saying to you tonight, okay? Don't feel under pressure. But if the Lord has spoken to you, I trust that God will really meet you where you're at. So let's all close our eyes tonight. If you still need to come, can we have some facilitators just to pray for these people? If you can pray for someone, then just stand behind the person. But let them do business with God first. So ladies, any leaders, guys, if you guys can just come pray for the people here. We need some ladies here. Emily, come. John Marie, you guys can come all pray for people. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, you can pray for someone. So just trust the Lord to pray. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you tonight. We just worship you. We exalt you. Just exalt you, Lord. We humble ourselves before you. Thank you, Lord. Just wait upon the Lord tonight. If you may be too shy to come forward and you want to kneel right there where you're at, then kneel right there where you're at. Because I believe God wants us to humble ourselves, to choose it tonight. Amen. To choose to humble ourselves. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for soft hearts tonight. The band is just going to lead us in song, and we're just going to pray for people. If you can pray, come and just help us to pray, agree with people tonight. But otherwise, let's just glorify God before we dismiss the service. I want to thank you for coming this evening. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. But we're going to continue just to worship the Lord, so if you can just fellowship there at the coffee and outside even. But let's just respect the presence of the Lord and just what He's doing in people's lives. If you still need prayer in some specific area, just come and we'd love to pray with you. Even if it's a worry or a challenge that lies ahead of you for this week, come and share it with us. We'd love to carry your burdens with you, to give them ultimately to Jesus. He carries all your burdens. If you're stressed about tests or just life in general, come. But the Lord bless you. You're welcome to have coffee and to fellowship. But if you want to remain, let's just continue to worship the Lord and to just enjoy His presence. Thanks for coming. God bless. Come back next week. We'll let you know if we're going to have an evening service next week because of the long weekend. But God bless you guys.